Yes, Thomas.
I was hoping you would add in a reflection, because I've been thinking about this. We could talk privately about it, but God chastens whom he loves. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
I wasn't, but yeah, sure.
Isn't that what he's saying? At the same time, I mean, if he didn't love us, he wouldn't correct us.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose you could go there, but that wasn't where I was. Uh-huh. That wasn't where I was going. It was more that if we speak to those that don't agree with us about our faith, which is not just about Jesus Christ, but it's also about moral behaviors, about ethics, in other words, all aspects, like I said, any aspect of how human beings are to behave, if we don't share that, if we choose to be silent instead, we can be accused of a lack of love. So I think the second option, we already rejected tyranny, trying to make everybody believe like we do. And I think we can reject the laissez-faire approach, which is just basically be quiet and everybody go to hell in a handbasket. That was my dear old daddy would say. What does that leave us with? The third option is to find ways out of love to speak the truth in ways which are rational, which are possible for others to accept, to speak about those things in the hopes of persuading them. You know, one of Paul's experiences before they shipped him off to Rome, he was in Caesarea, and he's talking with the civil authorities there. I think it was Felix or somebody. And Mother will correct me. And and he's talking about why he himself was being delivered, you know, to Caesar because they were attempting to kill him for his belief. And he's describing why he believes. And the man says to him, he says, so Paul, you've almost persuaded me to believe. And Paul says, well, I wish you were all the way persuaded, you know, because that's why we're sharing this. It's out of love. It's not out of the desire to dominate. Although, obviously, you can do it the other way around. I don't recommend it.
I think that's number one.
That's number one. We rejected that. We're not going to try to dominate everybody like the devil, who says, better to rule in hell than to serve in heaven. That's Milton, you know, saying, putting words in the devil's mouth. Yeah. All right. I think we've reached a stopping point. Do you agree, timekeeper?
Yes.
Mother says, Akathists at 12:15. So that gives everybody a nice little break to, you know, do what you need to do before going to church at 12. Is that right?
Yes.
Is that correct?
It's not our custom to be on time, though, so... But no, that worked wonderfully. That'd be great.
Well, I'm stopping, so I don't...
Okay.
You're free to do what you choose. We're going to go ahead and start again. Where we left off was in discussing the Orthodox Christian, which also means the biblical understanding of freedom, of liberty, of human dignity, what it means to be a human being. Obviously, Scripture cannot tell us in a direct sort of way what it means to be an American. But I do believe, and I think that's been the burden of the whole day up until this point, that Scripture and our Orthodox faith can inform how it is we are in the world, how it is we behave in the world. And as we also noted, the church has existed under pretty much every imaginable form of human government. And in fact, at many times, as we said, the governments which have persecuted faith have, despite their worst efforts, been met with an outpouring of faith that has been beneficial to future generations. We can think about the recent 20th century experience in Russia and the various communist bloc countries. Those situations haven't gone away, and I don't mean by that that there's trouble in those countries now. I'm sure there's trouble in those countries, just like there's trouble in this country. But what I mean is there are places upon the earth today where there still is difficulty for people of Orthodox faith. The ones who perhaps have suffered the most in the Middle East, for instance, over the last 25 years, are Orthodox Christians. And that has been mentioned here, even here today, by some of the people who have mentioned, you know, spoken up. Terrible difficulties in Syria, in Lebanon, in Iraq, Iran, and Egypt, but other places also. We haven't even touched upon the conditions in China or Indonesia. And I don't think there's a need to, because, as I said, I want more to talk about the underpinnings that will help us respond. And I know part of what's on everyone's mind today and coming here is the hope or expectation to be able to get help in dealing with things that are very close to our own daily lives, and the controversies and the difficulties, the lack of civility in public society, and that sort of thing. So as I said, I believe that we have been building to that in reminding ourselves who it is we are as Orthodox Christians, that we cannot be in the world as other people are in the world. We cannot be in the world as people of no faith or of other faiths are in the world. Just to pick one, for instance, most understandings of Islam would say that there is no distinction. Not only is there a cooperation, but there is no distinction between the religion and the civil government. And for that reason, to their own way of thinking, the authorities are fully justified in not only persecuting, but severely punishing and even destroying people who don't agree. The sad situation, even among our Muslim, among Muslim peoples, to see this carried to such an extreme of the killing of other Muslims because they don't agree. So it's a difficult time that we live in, and obviously I don't need to tell you, you know. But trying or striving to find the ground upon which we can stand in the midst of this, and I think to some extent it is similar. Who was it that said? Maybe it was you, Tim. Said something to the effect of, "This is my arena." I don't think arena was the word that you used, but in other words, Are the lives that we have in the situations and circumstances where we live is where we either rise or fall in terms of our own practice of our faith and how we are with others. So, as I said, up until this point, we've been attempting to sort of remind ourselves of what sort of people we are. Think about our dear friends, the apostles, James and John, who wanted to call down fire upon the Samaritan village where they didn't receive, you know, them graciously, you know. Oh, we'll just call down. And the Lord says, you don't realize what sort of spirit you are. You know, this is not, doesn't matter. You can read about one of the prophets, you know, when he was insulted and the bears came and ate the children. It's okay. it's okay. We're not asking that the bears come and eat the children, you know, even if they abuse us. But we want, in whatever circumstances we're in, to be found faithful witnesses. And not merely, as St. Paul says, conformed to this world. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. To let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus.